Alrighty. Well, we're right there in Genesis chapter number 12. I'm going to get my exercise in as we're coming up. Them donuts kill me. I used to could run everywhere. Praise the Lord for donuts. Genesis 12. That's right. I knew that'd get one amen. Genesis 12 and verse number 1. We'll just read through these verses again. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gotten, that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. And that's where we'll stop tonight. If you weren't here last week, and if you were, let me just give you a refresher of what we went over. We saw that the Bible, in the first 11 chapters of the Bible, it was focused on the human race as a whole. But once we come to Genesis chapter number 12, you'll find that the Bible stops looking at the human race, but begins to look at the Hebrew race. And it begins to look at this man whose name was Abram, that you and I know as Abraham. Now, Abram was in a place called Ur of the Chaldees, and the Bible says, Stephen said that the Lord appeared unto Abram in Ur of the Chaldees, and he gave him this promise that we find here in verses 1 through 3. And God said, "If you will just leave your home, your kindred, and your country, this is what I will do for you." An unconditional promise. In other words, you cannot make this promise void. It doesn't matter what you do, this is what I am going to do. And he said, "I will make of thee a great nation." We saw he made him a national promise, and that nation was the nation of Israel. We talked about that. He said, "I will bless thee." As a personal promise, he said, "I will bless you, Abraham," and he did exactly that. Then he said, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee." That's a global promise. He said, "Whoever curses the Jews, I will curse them. Whoever blesses the Jews, I will bless them." And we said the reason America is the second greatest nation on earth today is because we have blessed Israel. It's the main reason why America is as blessed as it is today, because the nation of Israel are God's people. But you'll see also that it says, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." That was a promise, and we talked about how our families are blessed through the Jewish people, because through the Jewish people, that's how the Lord Jesus Christ came. And I'm blessed through the Jewish people because I'm saved by the power, by the blood, and by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the Jewish people, not only do we have the Son of God, but we also have our Bible. Mostly all the 66 books of the Bible were written by Jews. But we see here that God made Abram these unconditional promises. In verse 4, says that Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And we talked about how he had no idea where he was going. He just said, "I'm leaving." And he went out to go, and he just started walking until God told him to stop. Look at the end of verse 5. It says, "They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." Now, why is it called the land of Canaan? Because remember the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth? Well, Ham had a son whose name was Canaan. And Canaan and his sons and his daughters went from the Tower of Babel, and they traveled over into the land of Canaan that you and I know as the land of Israel. So that's why it's called the land of Canaan, because Ham had a son named Canaan, and he and his descendants went and they traveled into that land. But look what happened when Abram got to Canaan, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared unto Abram while he was in Canaan, and he said this, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." In other words, there's another unconditional promise right there. He said, "Will I," or "I will give your seed," or "your descendants," "this land." So last week, remember, we saw a national promise. God said, "I'm going to give you a great nation." He did that through the nation of Israel, didn't he? He said, "I will bless you personally." He did that. He said, "I will bless all the families of the earth." He's still doing that. But here we find in verse 7 that God makes Abram one more promise. He says, "Not only will I give you a great nation, bless you and bless all the families of the earth through you, but I will also bless you with a land, a homeland, and a promised land." See, that's why we call it the promised land, because God promised Abram this land right here. Now, I want you to see this tonight because there's a lot of verses in the Bible that speak about this. But the first thing I want you to see is God made Abram a land promise. He gave him a promise of a land. Now, go to Genesis 13 and verse 16. Because not only did God remember He promised them a land, but in order to have that land, Abraham's got to have sons and daughters to occupy that land. And look how many sons and daughters Abram is going to have. Verse 15. Verse 16, chapter 13. "I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." If you can go out and pick up some dust and count each one of them, God said that's how much descendants you are going to have. This is a man that's 75 years old and don't even have one descendant. And God says, look at all the dust. If you can count it, that's how many you're going to have. Look at chapter 15 and verse 8, probably just one page over. It says, look at verse 5. God brought Abram out into his camp. This is probably at night. Verse 5 of chapter 15 says, "He brought Abram forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell or count the stars. If you be able to number them, he said unto him, so shall thy seed be." So not only count the dust of the earth, that's how many descendants you'll have, but go out at night and count the vast number of stars. That's how many descendants you'll have, Abram. That's a lot of descendants, ain't it, Brother Louis? I ain't never been able to count how many stars there are. That's a millions. That's how many descendants God said that Abram was going to have. But this is the promise that He gave to Abram. He said, to those descendants that are as the sand of the sea, to those descendants that are as the stars of heaven, I am going to give to them this land. If you're still in chapter 15, look at verse 18. In the same day, the Lord said this. He says this a lot of times to Abram. Verse 18. The same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land." In your Bible, if you see the word seed or descendants and the word land, you need to circle it. Because every time you'll see the word "unto thy seed will I give this land," so often seed and land are mentioned together. So Genesis 15 and 18, God said, "Unto your seed, unto your descendants will I give this land." Go back to Genesis 13 and 15. I just want you to see something because this is very important. Genesis 13 and verse 15. "All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." There's those two words again. This land that you see, I will give it to your seed or to your descendants. And we won't go there because we'll go to it in a minute. But Genesis 17 and verse 8, He says the exact same thing. He says, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." There's those two words again. Your descendants, it's their land. It's their land, and I'm going to tell you why that's important in a minute. But what I want you to see is that's very important. And if you want to write it down, it's Genesis 13 verse 15, Genesis 15 verse 18, and Genesis 17 verse 8, to where God says, "I will give your seed this land." Now, think about this. God has already fulfilled the national promise. He gave him a great nation, the nation of Israel. God's fulfilled the personal promise. He blessed Abraham greatly. God is still fulfilling the global promise. He is blessing you and me through the Jewish people. People are still getting saved because of Christ today. He's still doing that. But here we find that God promised to give them a land. That is just about the only promise that God has not fulfilled yet. Let me ask you something. When God promises something, do you think He's going to break His promise? No. Right here in Genesis 12, 13, 15, and 17, God said, I will give your descendants this land that I'm promising you to give them. So what's He going to do, Brother Carl? He's going to give them this land. That's exactly what He is going to do. So three things tonight, and we'll be done. Go back to Genesis 12 and look at verse 7, because we're going to expound on this verse. Genesis 12, verse 7, God said, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said this, unto thy seed will I give this land. There it is again. Unto thy seed will I give this land. I'm going to ask you three questions about verse number 7, and we're going to answer them, okay? Number one, unto thy seed will I give this land. Well, just hold on. I'm going to go back here and check it. But number one, the first question that you need to write down, He said, unto thy seed will I give this land. The first question is, what land? What land is God talking about there in Genesis chapter number 12? The land that He's talking about in Exodus chapter number 3, God said to Moses, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. You've heard that all throughout Scripture. This land is a land that flows with milk and honey. You'll remember the 12 spies that went to spy out Canaan in Numbers chapter number 13. They came back and said, man, this land is awesome. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. In the book of Deuteronomy, God said, my eyes are always on this land. In other words, my eyes never get off this land. In Deuteronomy chapter number 11. So what land is He talking about? Here you'll find in verse number 5, He came into the land of Canaan, and when He was sitting right in the middle of Canaan, God said, I will give you this land. But not only is God going to give Abraham and the Jews this land, in chapter 13, God took Abram and He said, I want you to do something, Abram. Look north, look south, look west, and look east. And He said, every single piece of land that you see, that's also yours. So not only is God going to give the Jews this particular land of Canaan, He said, all around it will be your land too. Now, I meant to tell you earlier we was going to be flipping a lot tonight. But go to Genesis 15, and He's going to give us the borders of the land that He's going to give to the Jews. Genesis 15 and verse 18. It's the outline, the borders of the land that God is going to give to them. Look at verse 18 in Genesis 15. The same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Which land? From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And then He names all the heights there that are in that land. So what land is He talking about? He said, from the river of Egypt, which is south of Israel, to the river of Euphrates, which is about north and east of Israel. So what land is He talking about? That right there is the borders of the land right there on your PowerPoint. So you'll see right there, that's just about the borders, that's the promised land right there that God said, this is the land that I'm going to give you. I want you to notice something. Look at where Israel is, okay? You see Israel? That piece right there is Israel. That's all that is. God said, I'm going to give you this by the Nile River, the river of Egypt. I'm going to give you this by the Euphrates River that goes into Iraq. I'm going to give you this up here north of Lebanon, that's Syria. I'm going to give you this down here near Saudi Arabia. But right now, guess how much the Jews have? Right there. That's just about all they have. You know how big that is? Have you ever seen New Jersey on a map of America? That's smaller than New Jersey. That's how much they have. And yet God said, I'm going to give you all that. Now, have they ever possessed all of that? No. Not even when David was king. Not even when Solomon was king, they still did not have all of that. But I want you to see tonight, I told you that right now, the Jews, the Israelites, right now in Israel, they possess about half of that state there of New Jersey. But in 1948 is when they got the land back, of course, as you'll most of you will remember. But they're sitting there with the United Nations. They said this. They said, we just want you to know that God did not just give us the nation of Israel. God gave us the promised land. He said, and the promised land is all that. But right now, we're just taking that. They said, we just want you to know that. God didn't just give us that little piece. God gave us all of it. Now, the fact is, right now, they don't possess it. And the fact is, more than likely, they're not going to possess it in our lifetime. You say, well, when will they? Because God promised to do it. When will they possess this land, Brother Carl? Yes, sir. When Christ comes back in Revelation chapter number 19. When Christ comes back seated on His white horse, and we'll get to talk about that in a minute. That is when God is going to look at them and say, then I will give you this homeland, and finally this promise is going to be fulfilled. Ezekiel 47 and verse 14, we're not going to flip there, but Ezekiel pictures a time when Christ is back, when Christ is ruling on earth, and Ezekiel says in chapter 47 verse 14, he said, then will you have your land that God has given to you. So I want you to know something. We're about to get a little bit more into it. But I just want you to see that tonight, that God gave them the promised land. The promised land is not just Canaan, that's the promised land. And when Christ comes back, Christ is going to give Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his 12 sons, and all the Jewish people that have trusted in Him, that land right there for them to have. But it's their land. Now whose land is it? What's Genesis 12 verse 7 say? He said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Unto thy seed. So whose land is it? The descendants of Abraham's land, isn't it? But let me ask you something. That's the second question. Number one, what land I just showed you? Number two, who is the seed of Abraham? Since they are going to get this land, we need to figure out who is the descendants of Abraham. Is it the Jews? She can't. Yes. But is that all? Is that all that the descendants of Abraham is? Is he our father too? Y'all remember that song? Oh, y'all ain't gonna sing it. All right, fine. I'm gonna sing it. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot, turn around, something, something, sit down. Amen. Y'all didn't know I knew that, did you? I didn't get the end. I forgot what you're supposed to put your head in or something. Oh, we'll get there. Here's the pen. All right. So who is the seed of Abraham? That song says we are. But I want to show you tonight, and pay close attention to this because it might get a little bit confusing, but just pay close attention. There's three kinds of descendants of Abraham. Three different types of descendants of Abraham, okay? The first type is a natural seed. A natural seed of Abraham. You say, what is that? Genesis 25 and verse 12 starts that out for us. Genesis 25 and verse 12. It'll tell you who is the natural seed. In other words, who came forth from the loins of Abraham and the women that he had. Genesis 25 and verse 12. Look at what it says. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abram. And then verse 13 says, these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations, and it names a bunch of sons of Ishmael. So you'll remember Abraham had a son whose name was Ishmael, and you'll find out throughout the Bible and throughout history, you'll find that Ishmael's descendants became the Arab people. It became the Arabs. Okay? So those are that's why, as I told you a few weeks ago, that's why there's such a conflict in the Middle East. Because the Muslims are saying, he's our father. We get this land. But there's another group over here called the Jews who are saying, yeah, but he's our father and we get this land. Okay? So Ishmael was a natural seed of Abraham, and then he had descendants through Ishmael. But you'll also realize in verse number 19 of Genesis 25, these are the generations of Isaac. Abraham's son, Abraham, beget Isaac. And you'll remember Isaac had a son named Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons who we know as the 12 sons of Israel, who we know as the 12 tribes of Israel. And they became who? The Jewish people, didn't they? David came forth from them. Paul came forth from them. Moses, all the people, Joshua in the Old Testament, they came forth from the 12 sons of Israel, of Jacob. So right there, you'll see the first seed of Abraham is a natural seed that literally came forth from Abraham and you've got Ishmael that became the Arabs, and then you've got Isaac that became the Jews. Okay, so write that down. The first seed is the natural seed. The second seed, oh Lord have mercy. The second seed is the spiritual seed within the natural seed. Okay? The spiritual seed within the natural seed. Now who are those? Those are saved Jewish people. All the Jews in the Old Testament were not saved. You'll recognize that. There are a lot of them that got wiped out by God because they were not saved. Because they didn't believe in God. They were still Jews, but they didn't believe in God. So there is a spiritual seed within the natural seed. And that saved Jewish people. People that believed in God. Like Isaac, like Jacob, like Joseph, like Moses, like David, like Daniel. And then you get to the New Testament. Paul says, I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm an Israelite. And he was saved. Romans 11, that's actually verse 1. It says in Romans 11, 1. Peter was a Jew. He was saved. James and John were Jews. They were saved. Titus, Timothy, all these people, they were Jews and they were saved. So right there, that they are Jews, but they are saved Jews. Okay? So you've got the natural seed, and not necessarily all those were saved. But then secondly, you've got a spiritual seed of Jews that are saved. And maybe you do have some Arab people that are saved. Okay? So you've got that. You've got the spiritual within the natural right there. And those are saved Jewish people. Thirdly, you've got the spiritual that's not a part of the natural seed of Abraham. Now who is that? You'll see that. That's me. Galatians 3:29. You can write it down. I don't want you to flip to it. But I'll read it to you. Just write it down and you can see it later. Galatians 3:29 says this. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Paul said, you are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed according to the promise that He gave. That's why I just sang the song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. Because Paul said, when you trust in Christ, you become a spiritual son of Abraham. Now, I'm not a Jew. I'm not a natural seed of Abraham. I didn't come from Abraham. But I trusted in Christ. Paul says when we trust in Christ, we get put in the spiritual seed of Abraham. I'm still not a Jew. I'm still not an Israelite. But I believe in God. I believe in Christ, which makes me, Paul says, a child of Abraham. Now, those are the three seeds right there. You've got a natural seed, not necessarily saved, Arabs and Jews. You've got a spiritual seed within the natural seed. Those are saved Jews, like Paul. And then you've got a spiritual seed that is me and you who trust in Christ. Now here's the question. Remember the question? Who's going to get the land and who is the seed of Abraham? So which one of these seeds are going to get the land? That's what I want to ask you. Okay, I'm going to answer it for you. Which one of these three are going to get the land that God promised? Well, number one, we know that it's not the natural. Okay? We know that it's not the natural. Ishmael and the Muslims do not believe in the same God that we believe in. Okay? They're not going to get the promise that God gave to them. Because in Genesis 17, God is talking to Abram and He says this. He says, why don't you bless Ishmael? I've already got a son, God. Why don't you bless Ishmael? In Genesis 17, verse 20, God said, as for Ishmael, I've heard you, and behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful. But verse 20, 21 says, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac. In other words, the promise that I made is not going to be with Ishmael and his people. But the promise that I made to you is going to be with Isaac and his people, okay? So they're not going to get the promise of the land. I hate to tell them over there right now, they're fighting for it. But God's already set it in stone. The Arabs are not going to get the land. The people who trust in God are going to get in the land. Okay? So number one, the natural seed won't necessarily get it if they're not saved. The spiritual within the natural, are they going to get it? Saved Jewish people. Are they going to get it? Shake your head. Yes, they are. But I want you to see something, because there's preachers that I listen to and that you listen to on TV, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you who it is. Great, he's a great preacher. He really is. I've gotten a lot of stuff from him. But John Hagee believes that just because you're a Jew, you're going to get to heaven. He believes just because you're a Jew, you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter whether you repent. It doesn't matter whether you turn to Christ. He says because you're a Jew, you're going to get in. Because you come from Abraham, you're going to get in. Now, is that right? According to our Bible. I'll show you how it's not right in a second. So not all Jews are going to inherit this land. Remember, that's what we're talking about. This earthly land of Canaan, not all Jews are going to inherit it. Only saved Jews are going to inherit it. Because I want you to think about this. Write it down. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. John the Baptist begins to speak. I used to get all over people at the Y. They figured out that I got called to preach and they figured out I was a Baptist. Well, they got all over me, first of all. There was a guy I was really good friends with. I used to train him. And he asked me, he said, So what are you? I said, I'm a Christian. He said, yeah, I mean, but what denomination? I said, well, I'm a Baptist. He said, well, I'm a Presbyterian. I said, well, what was John? He said, John the Presbyterian. I said, you need to get a different Bible. But it was John the Baptist. But listen to what John the Baptist said. He's standing in there baptizing people in the Jordan River. And all these Jews walk up to him. And he looks at them. He knows exactly what they're doing. And John the Baptist looked at him in Matthew 3, verse 9, and he says, do not think, because you are the seed of Abraham, that you're going to get in the kingdom of God. See, they're walking around saying the same way that some people say today, because I'm a Jew, I'm in. It don't matter. Because I'm an Israelite, because I come from Abraham, I'm in. And John the Baptist looked directly at him and he said, do not think that. He said, God is able to raise up from these rocks right here, children of Abraham. He said, the only way in is to repent. And that's still the only way in today, is to repent and turn to Christ. And then Jesus said in John 8, 37, the Jews looked at him and said, we have Abraham to our father. We're good. And Jesus looked at him and said, hold on. If you were Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. So Jesus said, I know you're Jews, but if you were the sons of Abraham, you would exercise the same faith that he had. Just because you're a Jew does not mean you're getting this land. John the Baptist said it. Jesus said it. I'm going to go with them. So, and we won't flip to the, but Matthew or Romans chapter number 9 says the same thing in verse number 6. Paul said, not everybody who is of Israel is of Israel. In other words, not everybody who is a child of Abraham through the flesh is going to inherit the promise that God gave to Abraham. You still got to repent and be saved. So, to inherit the land, we saw the natural who aren't saved are out. They're not getting the land. We saw that the spiritual within the natural, the saved Jews, are going to get the land that God gave to them. Now, do you see why Satan has tried ever since Genesis 12 to wipe out the Jews? I want you to see that. We come to the book of Exodus. Pharaoh looked at those women and said, if there's Israelites that are born, I want you to kill them. And what'd they say? We ain't doing that. And they didn't do it. But why did he want to do that? Because the devil was in him trying to get rid of all the Jewish people. You come to the New Testament, remember Herod the Great? He heard that there was a king born in Bethlehem. He said, well, go and wipe them out. There are Jews over there. Wipe them out. What was he doing? He was trying to wipe out the Jewish people. What was the whole point of the Holocaust? To wipe out the Jewish people. That was the main goal of Hitler. To wipe out the Jewish people. Why? I believe this in all my heart. He was directly possessed by the devil himself. Because the devil said this. This is this boy. If I can wipe out the Jewish people, God can't keep His promise to them. And if God breaks His promise, guess what? He's no longer God. So somebody else has to take the place of God, and that's me. That's what he says. I'm going to wipe them out. That means God can't keep His promise, and since He can't keep His promise, He's not God, and somebody else has to take His place, and who's it going to be? Me. Guess what He wanted before anything was ever created? That's exactly what He wanted, wasn't it? He said, I will be like the Most High God. That's what He's wanted ever since, to be like God. And that's why He's tried His best from Genesis 12 to Matthew chapter number 1 to Matthew 2 to World War II. He's tried to wipe out every single one of them. But guess what? He hadn't. And He won't. Mark Twain, I believe it was, he's an author. He's agnostic, didn't believe in God. But he went over to Israel. He went over to Israel. And he said these words, "Everything is mortal except the Jew." In other words, every single thing will pass away from earth except one thing. The Jews. He said, it's amazing. You study it, you've seen Philistines. And I don't see them. You studied it, I've seen Canaanites. I don't see them. But you go over there 4,000 years later after God made the promise to Abraham, and guess who's still there? The seed of Abraham. The Jewish people. Why? Because God's going to keep them. Because He's got a plan for them to bring them into this earthly land that He has promised for them. And that's where we're about to go. So, we saw tonight there are three seeds of Abraham. The natural seed. They're not going to get it. There's a spiritual within the natural saved Jews. We saw they are going to get it, right? But you know what's good? I believe this in all my heart. Because I've studied it a little bit. I believed also that the spiritual seed one day will inherit the promise that God gave to Abraham. That means me and you, okay? The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 14, it says, we too will share in the blessings of Abraham because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe this, the same way that the Jewish people are going to inherit this promised land is the same way you and I will get to enjoy the blessing of it one day too. Okay? I'm about to get into this, so just pay attention. Think about this. God promised this earthly land, the promised land, who did He promise it to? Abraham, Isaac, and through Jacob, his sons, and the Jews. Okay? He promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Guess what they didn't get to do, Brother Louis? They didn't get to stay there forever, did they? They died. But yet God said, I'm going to give you this land. But they died and they didn't get to get it. Well, guess what? I believe that we too are promised this land one day with them. Well, what if I die and I don't get to go over there and get the land with them? It won't happen. So what's God got to do? He's got to raise some people from the dead, don't He? In order for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to get this land that God promised them, what's He got to do? Get them up. He's got to raise them up from the dead. And how are we going to get it, Brother Carl? If the rapture happens, we're going up. We're going to heaven to be with the Lord. But I told you a million times, we're coming back. We're coming back to this same earth right here, to where Jesus is going to change it to be like the Garden of Eden. We'll be in our glorified bodies. Remember Revelation 19? The Bible says, I saw somebody seated on a white horse whose name was Faithful and True, whose name is the Word of God. And He said, behind Him, I saw an army who was also sitting on white horses, clothed in white robes. I told Landon I ain't riding his horse because I want the first horse I ride to be that white one in heaven when I come back. See, we're coming back, Brother Carl. And you know where we're going? We ain't going to Canada. We ain't coming to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We're going straight to Jerusalem. Now, the reason I had that picture on there was because that's where we're going. You see, the Bible says in the book of Zechariah, look at that face. That's the Mount of Olives right there. In Zechariah says, I saw something. And the Son of Man came back. And when He touched down, His feet touched the Mount of Olives. And when His feet touched the Mount of Olives, that rock split in two, and it became a great mountain, and that's when God turns it into the Garden of Eden all over again. And that's exactly where I'm standing right there. When we come back on them white horses, that's where we're going. But I want you to think about this. And we're going to go straight to that land. But guess what the Bible says? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, 12 sons that were saved, they need to inherit the land too. Revelation 20. This is a lot of information, I realize that. Revelation 20, the Bible says there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. Guess who's getting up? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, all the Old Testament saints. And guess where they're going? They're going straight to that land. And the Bible says for 1,000 years we will reign with Christ right here from this earthly center of Jerusalem. Isn't that something to think about? I didn't get to see Jesus born in Bethlehem, Brother Carl. I didn't get to see Him die on the cross. I didn't get to see Him raised from the dead. The Bible says we're going to have a front row seat when He comes back. And I'll get into this at the end. I don't want to get into it right now. But this ain't a fairy tale. This is something that's written in stone. It's already happened in the eyes of God, and we're a part of it. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me smile. Because these earthly things down here that bring troubles and all that, they can all wipe away when we begin to think about what God's got promised for us. But Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're going to rise from the dead. And when Christ comes back, He's going to rule and reign as the King. And we're going to be right there in that land. And God is going to remake it into the Garden of Eden. And we are going to dwell with Him. Third question, what land? I showed you the land, the promised land and its borders. Who is the seed of Abraham? Natural seed, spiritual within the natural, and a spiritual seed, which is me and you. Now, who's going to inherit that land, number two and three, right? The spiritual seed within the natural, but we too, I believe, we're going to get to come back and we're going to get to share in that blessing that He's mainly got for the Jewish people. But God's been so good that He's going to allow us to be partakers of it too. But thirdly, and I'm done, how long will they be in this land? How long? Go to Genesis 17, verse number 5. And this is where God changes Abram's name to Abraham. Genesis 17, verse 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I will give unto thee, here it is, and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan. For how long? An everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Some people looks at this and says, that just means that Abraham got it when he was here on earth. That just means that Isaac got it when he lived 100-some years on earth, but he won't get to come back and get it. Think about this. When Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Does that mean it's just a short time and then He's going to cut it off? Or does that mean everlasting life that's never going to end? That's exactly what it means. Well, guess what God said in Genesis 17, verse 8? This land that I'm going to give you is not just a land that's going to be here for 200 years, 300 years, 400 years. It's going to land that I'm going to give to you for everlasting, eternal land. And its center is in Jerusalem. Remember that. Now think about this. This is weird. If you think about it, Brother Louis. I've told you a million times. Global warming ain't going to destroy this earth. What's going to destroy it? God is. He's going to take it out with a fire, ain't He? 2 Peter 3:10. If God's taking out this globe, how are they going to inherit this earthly land forever? Think about that. Listen to me. This is pretty cool, I think. The center of this land right here is Jerusalem. God says, I'm going to give it to you. We'll reign for 1,000 years. After those 1,000 years are done, the Bible says He's going to take out the globe. He's going to set it on fire, and He's going to bring down a new heaven and a new earth. Somebody tell me what the new heaven and the new earth name is. New what? Ain't that good? God says, when I destroy this Jerusalem, I'm going to just bring down another one. And I'm going to give you a new one to live on. For 1,000 years, they'll be in that Jerusalem right there in the Middle East. But when God gets done with that, He's going to wipe it out and say, I've been preparing a new one. And I'm going to bring it down, and you'll be there forever. Yes, sir. The city that's four square, the city of God. That you and I, the Bible says, we'll see His face. The face of our King. The face of our Lord. The face of the One who made absolutely everything possible for us to even have a promise like this. Now, I'm telling you, I've read this, I've studied this, And it's so easy for me, I don't know about you, it's so easy for me to read the promises that God gave me and just go over them and say, yeah, one day that's going to happen, but I'm still struggling today. So how does that help that one day we're going to get all this? I don't know about you, but it helps me to know that one day all of it's going to be fixed. I told you the other day, we know the end of the story, don't we? We know how it's going to end. I was watching that Yankees World Series. I was nervous when it was happening. But once they won it and I watched it on tape, I watched it again, I wasn't too nervous because I already knew the end. We've already read the end, haven't we? And you see, what helps us today is to know that some glad day it's all going to be over. All the problems that we endure today, the body that you have that hurts when you wake up, the reason it hurts is because we're sinners and our body is filled with sin, but one day the body will no longer be a sin-filled body. It will be a body just like the Lord Jesus Christ's body. The world that you experience around you that brings worry, that brings anxiety, that brings fear, that brings hurt, that brings hate, all that world that's filled with sin will go to a world that's not filled with it anymore. And if we can just get in our minds the fact that all this down here is just about that much when compared to eternity. You got that right. It's a whole lot smaller than that. We'll be able to push through down here. Because when you can just see that finish line, Brother Johnny, that God's got that land prepared for us, and it's a land that ain't going away. And it's a land that we're children of God. It can't be taken away. God's promised it to us. And it helps me to know that God's got a place prepared for me. That when all these troubles, trials, death, pain, and all this stuff happens down here, there's a place where there won't be any of that anymore. I'm only 25, but I have no idea how many days I got left. We could be real soon to it, Brother Carl. And I'll say praise God if Jesus comes back tonight. You think praise and worship is good in church, you just wait. And if you don't like all the screaming and shouting that go on in church, don't go to heaven. I can't imagine they're going to be saying, oh, worthy, worthy. I believe they're going to be shouting to the Lord of glory. And I told them this morning, when we get to heaven, we won't be walking around saying, look at me. Look what I did to get here. We're going to look at the one seated on the throne and we're going to fall down and say, the only reason I'm here is because of what you did. And all the crowns that we get for doing good things down here, we won't walk around saying, look how many I got. We'll walk around, we'll fall at the feet of Jesus and say, the only reason I got it is because you gave me the strength to do it, so I give it right back to you. In heaven, there's nothing that will be to our name. But there will be a book that will have my name written in it. There might not be people down here that care about you, that have your name, but there's a place in heaven that has your name, Brother Clyde. And if that don't make you feel special in the eyes of God, I don't know what will. We are special to God. If you are a son of God, a child of God through faith in Christ, you are special to Him. And don't let anybody ever tell you otherwise. Because He's got your name in His home, if you've ever trusted in Him. And I praise God for it. We're going. There's a land prepared for us. And we're going. And when this land down here gets hard, just set your mind on that land. It's coming real soon. I believe that in all my heart. It's coming real soon, whether by death or by rapture. Either one's fine with me, because we'll be there with Him. Let's pray. Father, we do bless Your Word tonight. And we bless Your name tonight, God, for the promises that You've given to us. God, help us as we read Your Word, not to just scan over the promises and think that they're nothing that matter to us today, but God, help us to look at them and really think about them and really meditate on eternity. And God, as the great preacher Jonathan Edwards prayed, he said, God, stamp eternity before my eyes. God, we pray the same thing tonight. Help us to get our eyes off the things that are temporal, get our eyes on the things that are eternal. Get our eyes off the visible and get our eyes on the invisible that we can't see yet. God, it'll help us in this life. I pray that You'll help us, God, to get our minds off of all this stuff down here. And God, just look to You. And we thank You for all Your promises that You've given to us in Your Word. God, help us to take hold to them. God, help us as we go out of this place tonight, keep us safe on the road, be with all those that are hurting and need You tonight. God, bring us back on Sunday to worship You. And we do thank You and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.